إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. Request for the brothers who are at the entrance, please keep it quiet. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. وبعد, dear brothers and sisters, beloved Muslims, يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا. Beloved Muslims, this ayah includes a lot of noble and lofty manners. Manners that Islam teach us so that we behave in a good way with the fellow humans as we do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Islam teaches us to perfect our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to perfect our relationship with the humans. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and worship Allah alone. And do not ascribe divinity in any way to anything beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do good unto your parents, the near of kin, and unto orphans and the needy, and the neighbor from among your own relatives, and the neighbor who is not from your relatives, and the friend by your side, and the wayfarer, and those whom you rightfully possess. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those who are full of self-conceit in a boastful manner. Dear brothers and sisters, we need lectures in order to explain this ayah from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, our focus today is about one of those manners that are included in this ayah, and that is وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُوبِ, that to be good towards our neighbor. This is very important because some of us have a misconception concerning being dutiful and being kind to our neighbors, and we restrict this kind of manner to living in a Muslim society or in a Muslim country. However, dear brothers and sisters, the meaning of a neighbor as a term in Islam is broader and includes even a neighboring country, and include the neighbor who is beside us in the classroom, and it includes all neighbors, whether they are relatives or not relatives, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, whether they are close neighbors or far neighbors. And this is something that we have to understand, especially living in this land, especially living in this country, because when it comes to neighbor, there is an added duty when we upon us in this country, because beside violating the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is when we do not be kind to our neighbors, we are giving a bad image to Islam, a negative impact on the society. And therefore, it is very important for us to understand the rights of neighbors, and to be sensitive towards those rights, and to do our best in order to fulfill them. First of all, I have to admit that all my neighbors are better than me. And by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I live in a very beautiful neighborhood. I happen to live in a Muslim neighborhood. However, these rights apply to all, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. So this is a reminder for myself, number one, and a reminder for all my brothers and sisters, inshaAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emphasizing on the right of the neighbor, he said, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم جاره. As Bukhari and Muslim recorded that. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let him honor his neighbor. So he connected this honoring of the neighbor to believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day. If one believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the complete sense and believes that he is accountable on the day of resurrection, then one need to be good to his neighbor. This is the meaning of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال القاضي عياض رحمه الله, القاضي عياض said, معنى الحديث أن من التزم شرائع الإسلام لزمه إكرام جاره. That the meaning of this hadith is that whoever adheres to the teachings of Islam and the principles of Islam, this implies that one need to honor his neighbor. Now, honoring our neighbors or ikram of life is from having this quality, this attribute of karam when we are dealing with our neighbor. And karam is to deal with him with all praiseworthy attributes. So this is a comprehensive quality, to be kind with him and to fulfill his rights. And when our scholars address the rights of the neighbors, they said many things. They detailed a lot of these rights. However, those rights can be classified under four categories. Number one is to abstain from harming your neighbor. Number two is to be forbearing towards the harm that may come to you from your neighbor. Number three is to be protective of your neighbor. And number four is to be kind and generous towards your neighbor. And kindness and generosity towards neighbors start by the way we address them, by how we talk to them, by being courteous and gracious when we talk to them, by greeting them in the best way, and by honoring their household, their family, their honor, and by not allowing our side to roam in the privacy of their home. So they have a privacy, we need to respect this privacy. We should lower our gaze because of the fact that neighbors are close to each other, they are likely to see certain private aspects of the life of their neighbors, and therefore sensitivity towards our neighbor and being good to them requires that one protect his eyesight from seeing something that he knows his neighbor's head for him to see. And this kindness and generosity include giving them food, clothing, and when you cook something, you share with them whatever you cook. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, مَا آمَنَ بِي مَنْ بَاتَ شَبْعَانَ وَجَارُهُ إِلَىٰ جَنْبِهِ جَائِعَ وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ. The one who knows that his neighbor is hungry, yet he sleep with his full with stomach is full, does not believe in me. Which means part of believing in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make sure that you don't sleep while you know that your neighbor is hungry and you can give him some food. And also part of fulfilling or being kind and generous towards the neighbor is by giving them what they need. There are certain items that we need in our daily life, sometimes we don't miss, I remember. And those of you who lived in Muslim countries, I don't know what the condition now because I hear bad news, unfortunately. But In the olden days, neighbors used to live with one another as family, in the real sense of family, and they used to share many things. And for example, I remember that sometimes we don't find bread. We go to our neighbor, okay, can we borrow some bread from you? And they do give us bread. And sometimes they don't have bread, they come take bread. Sometimes we don't have a big enough pan to cook, we go to our neighbors, and so on and so forth. So there are items that we need on a daily basis that sometimes we miss in our home, and we ask our neighbors to afford. So part of being good to your neighbor is to help them and give them what they need. And that, as a matter of fact, this is the manner of the Muslim concerning other people who are not his neighbors. So when it comes to their neighbor, the right is more emphasized or stressed upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. Allah is condemning those people who يُرَاءُون, who like to be seen and praised, who like to show off, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ, and prevent all types of assistance. So this assistance can be in small minor issues and could be in bigger issues. So being a good neighbor implies that we help our neighbors concerning these issues. And also, being a good neighbor requires that we be considerate of our neighbors, because we share, for example, part of the backyard. We have something common between us and them. If we are to build a very high fence or a wall, one should consult with his neighbor and see how badly this is going to affect them, and again try to be sensitive not to do something that may bring harm to them. Concerning windows, if you are to build a room or to build a house, one should be sensitive as to the location of these windows. Try to make the windows in a way that does not expose the privacy of his neighbors. And this is something also very important. Our driveways, make sure not to block the driveway of your neighbor. And I'm saying this to you, brothers and sisters, because I have some of our Muslim brothers, unfortunately, who come tell me that their son, for example, he makes sure to park his car in the driveway of in a way that blocks his non-Muslim neighbor from coming out from his neighbor, and this drives his neighbor to call the police. And imagine the negative impact that leaves in the mind of people. So it is not a good practice. It is a haram practice, and on top of that, this is not helpful when it comes to da'wah. Instead of using this good neighbor spirit as a means to call into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are leaving a bad impact that is make more damage on the image of the Muslims in this country. Dear brothers and sisters, again, when our scholars talked about how the neighbor should act toward his neighbor, they even talked about the scent that comes from the house of the neighbor. If you are cooking something, mashallah, very delicious and smells very good, sometimes the smell may hurt the people, especially who don't have the same or they can, who cannot afford to cook in the same way that you cook. And this is why this, if you have to cook something that smells nice and good, then you don't share just the smell with your neighbor. Rather, you have to share some of that food with your neighbor. This is how, and again, if you see how Islam taught us how to deal with our neighbor, you see that Islam has raised the standard. And you see that Islam's manner concerning the neighbor is unprecedented in the history of social relationship. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a matter of fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma zala Jibril yusini bil jar hatta dhanantu annahu sayurith," that Jibril kept and reminding me of the right of the neighbor, until I thought that he is going to make him one of those who inherit, one of the heirs of the person. See how the importance and the significance of this relationship in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he kept reminding of the right of the neighbor until we thought that he is going to be among those who inherit the person. And again, those of you who lived long enough in Muslim countries, they have witnessed this good neighborhood spirit. However, after the wave of materialism and people affected by this dunya, neighbors started fighting with one another, and sometimes to live with closer than a bad neighbor is a very bad experience, because you are living there 24/7. That's it. I mean, sometimes a person live in one house throughout his life. So to have a bad neighbor, this is very bad. You brothers and sisters, we said that we can classify the rights that belong to the neighbor into four major categories. And one of them is to be kind to them, be generous with them, courteous, gracious. And the second is to protect your neighbor, to preserve your neighbor. And this is protecting him concerning his honor, his blood, and his property. And this is how people use to deal with one another, and this is part of being a good neighbor. And thirdly is to avoid harming your neighbor in any way, shape, or form. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. By Allah, he does not believe. By Allah, he does not believe." And this is stressing on the fact of the one who commits such a sin that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is negating complete iman from him. They said, "Who ya Rasulullah? Man ya Rasulullah?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man la ya'man jaruhu bawa'iquh." The one whose neighbor does not feel secure from him, does not feel safe concerning the evil and the harm that may come from him. Now, the fourth one is to be forbearing, to be tolerant and forgiving when it comes to a harm that may come from your neighbor. See how Islam made everything possible to guarantee good relationship between neighbors. So on the one hand, he told the neighbor that you should not hurt your neighbor. On the other hand, he told him, if you are hurt by neighbor, don't deal with him in the same way and the same manner. Rather, forbear and forgive him, especially if he did something wrong without not on purpose. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانه وتعالى وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Dear brothers and sisters, you may rightfully ask the question that based on what we are saying that non-Muslim is included in this command of being courteous and good to our neighbors. One may think that this is a statement that is said in order for us to be politically correct, and this is not correct, because all of you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to possess the best of manners, and part of his manners
where to deal good with his non-Muslim neighbors. All of you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have a Jewish neighbor, and it is recorded in the Sahih that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once heard that the son of his Jewish neighbor is very ill and he was dying, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that boy who was dying to embrace Islam, to say la ilaha illallah. And the father, who is the Jewish neighbor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told him, "Ati' Abul Qasim," obey Abul Qasim. Now with this sentence, "Ati' Abul Qasim," is very meaningful and significant, because it reflects the history of relationship. It reflects the respect that this neighbor used to have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the good way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to deal with him. And this, who could imagine this, that a Jewish father will allow his son to embrace Islam because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to be a Muslim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went happy from that house, saying, "Alhamdulillah alladhi anqadahu Allah min an-nar." Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah that He saved him from the hellfire. So this is something that is well established in the teaching of Islam and the manners of Muslims. And this type of manner was passed on to the generation of Sahaba and other generations. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was once slaughtering a sheep, and he told his servant to distribute the meat, and he said, "Start with our Jewish neighbor." He said, "Start with him. Start with our Jewish neighbor." And again, he repeated this so many times that he asked him, "How many times are you going to repeat this?" He said, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us of the right of the neighbor so much so that we thought that he is going to be among the heirs of the person, those who inherit the dead person. So this is a well-established manner in our dealing, and it takes special importance in this country. Dear brothers and sisters, we have to exert a lot of effort in order to counter the negative publicity about the Islam. So to add to this, the spirit of bad neighborhood is going to be very unhelpful to our cause, dear brothers and sisters. This is why it is extremely important that we be extra sensitive to our non-Muslim neighbors and use this relationship in order to, number one, call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to have a good public relationship with them. All of you know about the study that was released from Pew study group. And even though this study, which was like 108 pages, was positive in most of it, but there was a couple of negative piece of information there. However, the media's focus was on this negative part. I mean, you could say that there is 1% of the Muslims who condone suicide bombing, or you say there is 26% of the Muslim youth who condone suicide bombing. See, and you could put it in a different way. You could say that 99% of the Muslims, they don't approve of suicide bombing, which include killing innocent. So there is a lot of negative publicity about Islam in this country, even though many Muslims are trying their best to improve the image of the Muslims. But it is incumbent upon every one of us to help the cause of improving the image of Muslims. So and this requires that we go the extra mile in order to be good neighbors, good friends and good citizens, to reflect this great message that we bear in our mind. Again, dear, in our heart, dear brothers and sisters, you may not have looked at this study, but it's important that you take a look at it and see how even though mostly it was positive, but these negative points were over exaggerated. Again, it addresses part of the youth who condone suicide bombing. And again, who are these youth? They are not the youth that I deal with on a daily basis. They are not the youth that we interact with. How did they pick them? Because of, for example, their Muslim sounding names, we don't know. And they could be, this is something that I personally have noticed, that the further away people from the masjid, the more likely that they may carry extreme views. And this is because of the extremism that is prevailing on our world nowadays. So much so that even neutral people are driven to extreme positions, and therefore they could be part of those people who are influenced by the injustices and by the extremism that is there over the world. After all, we have one of the ex-presidents of this country saying that as far as the negative, the adverse impact on this nation around the world, this administration has been the worst in history. So the situation in the world is not really perfect or right. This is not to say that we don't bear any responsibility. Rather, we bear a responsibility, and we have to educate our youth, and we have to do our best in order to pass on the correct version of Islam to people. However, it should be clear in our mind that Islam is what it is. Islam is what it is. If somebody have a different perception of Islam, he or she bears the responsibility of this different perspective. We have to do our best, inshallah, to promote the Islam that is in the Quran and the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this type of Islam is summarized in one verse in the Quran: "وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ." We did not send you, but a mercy to all the worlds.